What's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey man.
We are going to start the show today with one of the guys we've been waiting to talk to. And, of course, Falcon fans have been telling you, we're going to get a chance to talk to all these new rookies. And today, Billy Bowman joins us right off the top, guys, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We have a lot to get to. We will get to Braves, the debacle with the Celtics last night, all of that stuff we'll get to. But Billy Bowman's on the line. And, Billy, man, thank you so much for joining us. Congratulations on being drafted by the Falcons. And this whole process, man, let's start there because – when we drafted you in the fourth round, a lot of people around the NFL were like, wow, great pick. They like the skill set you bring. Tell us what you're bringing to the Falcons.
I'm bringing a lot of – well, first and foremost, let me say thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad to be a Falcon. I'm glad to be here in Atlanta. And it's been nothing but pure blessings and things like that. But I'm bringing definitely that dog side of me. You know, I pride myself on playing defense. I love defense, and I love what the challenges it brings. I just want to go out there and, you know, push myself to the limits and push my teammates to the limits. So just go out there, be a leader, and then be somebody on the field who, you know, will just earn the respect of his teammates. So I'm ready to get this thing kicked off, and, you know, I'm just ready to go out there and work with the guys.
Billy, we were reading your bio during the commercial break, and you played wide receiver, man, in Texas, I mean, as a high schooler. So why don't you be a little Travis Hunter for us, man? We'll get you on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I know. I wish, man. I wish I could have did that in college, too, but I didn't get a chance to. Yeah.
So you played at OU. Talk about this experience, because Brent Venables was there, obviously, at the end for you. But what was that experience like? Because, again, you know, high expectations, big-time program, and then you guys make the transition to the SEC.
Right, yeah. So before I went there, Oklahoma had won 6 in a row conference championships. They went to the college football playoffs 4 times. So, you know, I wanted to be a part of something great. I wanted to be a part of a family atmosphere. And so that's exactly what Oklahoma provided. Although my 4 years there, though, I didn't get any rings, any national championships, conference championships. But that's all good. I don't regret any of it at all, because I think it was all meant to be for a reason. My freshman year was with Coach Lincoln Riley and his staff. And then my last 3 years was with Brent Venables and his staff. So I just feel like, you know, everything played out how it needed to play out. It definitely brought some challenges. So just getting you prepared for the next level is what it's all about.
And we know Coach Venables from his time at Clemson, and he is, I mean, he's hot crazy, man. You got to keep him on the sideline. Did you pick up stuff? Is it a transition? You were able to learn some stuff from the new staff?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a lot. It was more defensive-minded. It was a lot more, you know, learning situational football, you know, just things from – what do offenses like to do in the red zone, to what they like to do their plays on 1st and 10 or 3rd and long, the 2-minute drill, you know. So just learning the game more. And, you know, obviously, like you said, Brent Venables, yes, he can get crazy at times, but I love it, though. I love every time he does that, and because it just brings back, you know, the focus of the team and things like that. So, yeah.
Falcons defensive back, safety / nickel. I think he's a baller. His name's Billy Bowman, guys. And he's joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. First time we've gotten a chance to chop it up. We'll get a chance to see you up at camp and all the stuff that we'll be a part of up there, Billy. But I want to also ask you about your conversations with Terry Fontenot and our coach Raheem Morris. How soon did you think they might draft you? What were those conversations like? And did you have any inclination that, hey, I'm going to Atlanta?
No, I didn't really. I mean, I had a private workout with Atlanta, and so I definitely felt good about things. You know, I definitely knew that Atlanta had a third-round pick, and you know, I was hoping I would fall there. But, you know, Xavier Watts got taken there, and then, like I said, it's all meant to be for a reason. You know, I'm going to love to play alongside Xavier. And so, you know, me just going in the fourth round, you know, I'm in the door now, but now you got to go knock the door down. So
right on.
It's a blessing to be here, and I've talked to Coach Morris, and, you know, guy full of energy, always smiling on his face, so it's going to be fun to play for a coach like that.
Yeah, man, you say it. Everybody we talk to plays with this guy, loves him. I think you're going to have a blast. By the way, how did you spend your draft weekend? Were you glued to the TV? How'd you watch it?
Yeah, so no, I had, you know, just immediate family over the first night of the draft, just watching that first round, just, you know, your dream's going to come true, so, you know, just sit down there and watch it. And day two, you know, I was expecting me to be my name to be called on day two. And so, you know, kind of threw something a little big, you know, not too crazy. And then, you know, not going on day two, definitely, you know, swayed my emotions a little bit. You know, the emotions is emotional roller coaster, really, throughout that time. And then day three came, you know, get back, refocus, reengage, and just, you know, just know that my time was coming. And so we had those same people over again. And so it was great to be around all my family and supporters and teammates.
Billy Bowman on the line with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Billy, from my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, your girlfriend is a world-class softball player, and you guys have been dating for a while. I'm just curious how that has helped you, because I think she's won like three or four national championships. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct. She's won four in a row national championships, four in a row All-American seasons, Conference Player of the Year, everything you could think of.
Wow. So how has it helped you? I mean, because she can relate to your journey, right? I mean, you guys, and I don't know, like, how often are you talking sports? Is it all the time? And how has that helped you as a football player?
Yeah, that's helped me a lot, not just as a football player, but as a person, just having somebody next to you that understands what you go through, because she does it herself also. You know, but we talk sports all the time. We can't get away from sports. So we love sports. We love talking about softball, basketball, football, baseball, you know, anything you could think of. We're sports junkies. But, you know, she is obviously more decorated with the trophies and stuff than I am. But now I got to catch her.
That's awesome, man. If you're just tuning in, guys, it is Billy Bowman from our draft class, guys, fourth round out of Oklahoma here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So you said you talked to the coaching staff. What are the expectations? What do you think they're going to ask you to do?
Not necessarily cleared with that yet, but, you know, whatever I have to do, I'm willing to do it. And so I think I've shown that, you know, throughout my college years that I'm a guy who's very versatile and very coachable. So whatever needed to be done can get done.
Well, we know you bring the hat. You like the physicality of the game. You're not afraid. Best thing I loved about you, man, like after the day after the draft, you know, you did like a video or whatever, and you're like, I fear nobody.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's we need more of that, Billy.
Yes.
So we know you're a playmaker, man. You consider yourself a ball hawk? I mean, how, you know, when you talk about all those interceptions and making plays like that, we need to create more turnovers on this defense. Is that your forte?
Oh, yeah, that's definitely my forte. I love getting the ball back for the offense. You know, that's something that I've done all my life, really, you know, just being able to find the ball when it's thrown in the air and go make plays on it. So I'll definitely be bringing that aspect.
All right, man.
We can't wait to see you at camp, man. Good luck.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you so much for joining us, man. We're excited for you. And, bro, let's get to work.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. Billy Bowman, guys. Safety, again, he's going to play a lot of nickel for us, but that's what they listed him as, coming out of OU. But, Mike, I think I said this the day we drafted him. They list him at about 5'10", and everybody's like, playmaker, man. Do not get caught up in that. And I think for what we want to use him as and the way that Ra and certainly, you know, Jeff Ulbrich want to use him, he's going to be a playmaker and a guy that helps us create more turnovers. And that's what we needed, Mike. That's why I think they drafted him and obviously Xavier Watts.
And, again, can't wait to see these guys. I love this part of the season, getting to hear these guys for the first time, hear what they're all about, their backstory. And, again, pure energy, man, and just excitement because, you know, as we said, you don't have to be drafted in the top of the draft to have an impact and become the man. You know, we go back and think about guys that have come through this team. You know, like I mentioned, undrafted guys like, you know, Jesse Tuggle. Sometimes it's a fifth rounder like Grady. So maybe this dude, but you know what, Carl, could be a starter, you know, not just a guy who's going to be, you know,
Correct.
Sort of situational in the nickel.
Yeah. And you said it, Mike, excitement. I know sometimes because we've been through the grind as fans, is old hat. But I want you to hear when these guys come on, how excited they are to be here and to be a Falcon, how excited they are to be putting that uniform on. And that means something. I mean, like, we just kind of take it for granted. Oh, it's another pick. Man, when these guys come in, you don't think they want to make a difference?
Right.
You don't think they want to win? You don't think they want to change the narrative of whatever it's been here? Oh, they haven't been in the playoffs in forever, man. Good luck. Okay, we're about to change that. So I love the attitude when I hear these young guys come on, Mike, and it's every year. You know, Bijan was that way. We can go back. Penix, first year. Hey, man, I'm just so happy to be here. That's the stuff that you hope grows in the culture within the building, Mike, when you got all these young guys trying to figure it out.
Right. And more importantly now, he comes into a Falcon defense which has more stuff up front than he would have if he had been drafted last year. So
yeah, that's true.
As we heard the comments from A.J. Terrell with our buddies, the Water Boys, the other day, it's kind of cool to see how these two parts are going to come together because, let's be honest, we've had one without the other for so many years.
All right, 404-726-0929. Look, we normally do not start the day this way, and I'm not talking about having Billy Bowman on, But I do want to mention, because it's such a huge worldly story, Mike, new Pope has been elected, and he's American. And it's the first time that's ever happened. So Mike and I were talking in the room before we came in today, and I just want to mention it. Pope Leo, he's from Chicago. Mm-hmm. It is a big deal because, again, first American, but that has happened here within the last couple of hours, if you have no idea or you haven't been paying attention, but it happened pretty quickly.
I mean, St. Peter was the first pope, and that would have been, well, 2,020-some-odd years ago.
That's right.
So, and America's only been a country for about 250, so that's why, if you're wondering why there hasn't been an American pope, the guy actually born in Chicago, for what it's worth, and it is kind of interesting, go to Villanova. And then eventually a lot of his work as a missionary initially down in South America, where he was a cardinal. But it is a Cardinal Prevost born in Chicago. Who had a cardinal born in Chi-Town on their bingo card? He will be known as Pope Leo the 14th.
Cubs fan. I mean, that when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. Everybody who knows him says he's down to earth.
Right.
So, again, we'll see, but that is a big story, and we did want to mention that because we know we have a lot of people that are interested. All right, man, we got a lot to jump into. Last night's NBA action was bananas, and we will definitely talk about that. Mike, I do have a question about, you know, you said this. Every year the manager makes about 5 mistakes maybe, and this is on average,
right,
through 162 games. And I say mistakes because these are hunches, right? You kind of go with your gut. And last night, Snit, I thought, went the wrong way when the analytics told him one thing, mm-hmm. and then his gut told him something else. Now, we've had Snit on, and I asked him this, you know, because he is an old school guy. How much of the analytics do you lean on? He said, look, they show that stuff to me, but a lot of times I'm going with what I feel. Guys, it won us a World Series. So I'm never going to argue that whatever that feeling is or whatever he thinks, he knows his team better than anybody. But last night, Mike, in a situation where, you know, he puts in Eddie Rosario, who traditionally, I guess if you looked overall, he has better numbers. But the guy to play in that moment was Eli White, and he didn't do it. And now, again, it didn't lose us the game. The pitching wasn't great. But it was one of those moments that we got to a point in the season, and you go, yeah, what are you doing, Snit?
I got to be honest, because the lefty-righty split is pretty much right across the board with Eli White. He's a 286 against lefties, 308 against righties. Right now. So, I mean, this is 2025 we're talking about. So, I got to be honest. I didn't understand it. And I knew it was kind of funny. Brandon Cotton and Tom Glavine in the booth. We'll never forget what he did in 21. It's almost like I heard Andy say it. Abe said it. I had to agree with him. I was laughing in the car because I was thinking the same thing last night. Remember what he did for us in 2021? Because really, don't expect anything right now in this at bat. And you didn't get anything.
No, Rosario.
It was made no sense.
He's hitting a buck whatever against righties right now.
Again, he shouldn't even be on the team.
Okay.
Okay, this is a reclamation project. This nostalgia thing has run its course. Okay, you might as well just go sign Adam Duvall at this point.
Well, when I heard Snit, and I don't know if we've got it, Dom. We'll see if we've got it. But Snit said, you know, he was just going, trying to find some magic. We'll let you hear it. That what he was telling
me
is,
was bad.
Well, yes, but he's trying to conjure up, to your point, 2021 again. It's not. We're so far removed from that. So
I'll take Eli White 9 times out of 10 right now. I didn't know who Eli White was, like, you know, 3-6 weeks ago, whatever. But come on, that makes no sense.
All right, we're coming back. We got plenty to dive into. That was curious last night. I didn't necessarily like it, but that ain't the reason why. It's not the only reason why we lost the game. We'll dive into that and much more coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Many men. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Grant Holmes gave up 7 hits, 2 home runs last night. Here's the deal, though, Mike. It felt like there was a lot more because of the way the game went. And, you know, struck out 5 through 5 innings. But I'll say this, and Mike and I were talking about the curious decision, again, by Brian Snitker. I want you to hear this soundbite because he said it was a feeling. And sometimes the numbers just say, hey, do this. Sometimes it's easy. And if it doesn't work, guess what? I can say the numbers said that was the way to go. That was the situation with Eli White. He could have, of course, had him pinch hit. Either way, this is a Snit talking about Eddie Rosario, and he was hoping to do this.
Yeah, this guy's got better numbers off right-handers, way better. And thought maybe Eddie could recreate some old magic.
Old magic.
Okay.
Yeah. No. Answer was no. No, I mean,
it's not 2021.
I defend Snicker all the time because of those amazing ways he knew when to go with Soler, where to move Eddie in the lineup, and it worked out perfectly both against the Dodgers and the Astros in a World Series. Last night, not so much.
Yeah. All right, we're going to discuss. We'll get into the basketball stuff as well. What a disaster for the Celtics. And also our buddy Bryant McFadden. He's going to join us tomorrow, as a matter of fact, on the show. Great interview with Michael Penix. We told you about it yesterday, and it's on Put 'Em Up, See Dukes at Twitter. I retweeted it and posted it again. But during that interview, Matt Ryan, he FaceTimes Matt Ryan, and it's pretty funny as there's a lot there. So we'll talk with BMAC about that, but we also will let you hear what Michael Penix had to say about if the Falcons would have made the playoffs sooner if they started him. With that, let's say good afternoon to Jack Nelson. Jack, welcome in to the show, man. Welcome to the A. We're excited to have you. Seventh round pick for Atlanta Falcons out of Wisconsin. First of all, I got to ask you this, man. Is Wisconsin the party school that everybody says it is? My daughter had a chance to get in there, and we went up for a visit, and we left, and I said, you can't go here. Yeah. Is it crazy, Jack?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely pretty fun.
It is.
It's definitely pretty fun.
You had a good time there. You had a great career in Wisconsin. Talk to us about this journey for yourself, man. I know your family, football runs deep.
Yeah. I played at Wisconsin with my younger brother. He's on the team there still. My dad played at Wisconsin. All of them played O-line. And, football just kind of runs real deep. I got three younger brothers. They all play football. And so to kind of be here is a dream come true.
From Madtown, from Madison, man. Yeah, talking with our newest Falcon, Jack Nelson. The process, man, with the combine, did you anticipate you'd go where you went?
I think, I didn't really have a great idea. I strained my hamstring right before the Senior Bowl, so that was a little disappointing. I was a little disappointed I couldn't show off, what I could do at the Senior Bowl and, doing some of the combine testing. But regardless of that, all I need was the opportunity, and I got it. So I'm real thrilled about that.
Guys, he's big. 6'7", 312 pounds. At least that's what they list you as, Jack. We talk a lot about big hands and the length of these guys that play your position. What do you say about all of that stuff? The measuring and the hand size, because they talk about tackles and keeping these edge rushers off the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you can't have some, 15-inch arms or something like that. But when they start splitting hairs, talking about, quarter of an inch, this, that, I don't think it really makes that big of a difference.
Right. Now, man, look, all we know is we think of, the Big Ten, Jack, and Wisconsin, we just figure you're a mauler. We figure you're a guy that used to beat up your brother, or tried to, and just wants to beat up people. Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Now, how tough, by the way, what is Wisconsin practice like? I mean, because, every in the SEC, every region thinks they got the best, toughest guys. But what was it like playing in the Big Ten?
Practices were tough. There was definitely some grinder practices, especially when Coach Fickell came in there. It was a real, real, really trying to test your toughness, but, only made us better. I think it's prepared me well for what's to come.
Jack Nelson joining us here on the show, guys, introducing you to all of our new rookies as rookie camp is opened up this week up at Flowery Branch. What about, the strengths of your game? We know Wisconsin traditionally has always had a pretty good run game. I see you, and I've heard from scouts that you're a great run blocker. What do you think the strengths are of your game?
I would agree with that. I think I'm pretty good on the backside of zone stuff, especially cutting off on those backside plays. I think my quickness and my lateral agility really helps me out there. So I would definitely have to agree with that. I'm really excited for this offense. Mm.
As we mentioned, guys, you heard from Jack, his brother Todd played, and his dad, Nelson, played at Wisconsin. I saw a photo from your Wikipedia page. Your dad looks like he can still lace him up right now.
Yeah. He certainly likes to get after it in the weight room. But, he's definitely getting a little long in the tooth.
Is he the guy that would get you guys up? Let's go, son! Get you in the weight room early? Was he that guy?
Oh yeah, yeah. My dad's definitely a really intense individual. He's real intense dude. That's for sure.
No, I'm looking at the photo, Carl. I mean, he's going to burst right out of the screen at you. Again, guys, we're talking about one of our newest Atlanta Falcons. Jack Nelson here is with us. And again, we've been asking all the guys that got drafted, not knowing, as you said, after the combine because you were banged up. How did you spend that weekend? When did you get the phone call? What was that like?
It was definitely a really stressful time. Like I said, just a lot of uncertainty. But we decided to have the spend the draft at this local bar that we're family friends with the owner in Madison. So we had my family, a couple of close friends, and a lot of guys from the team from Wisconsin. The whole line was there, so it was pretty cool. And when I finally got that call, to be surrounded with my best friends, my family, it was definitely something special for sure.
So real estate and urban land economics, what is that, Jack? I mean, what are you going to be, a mogul?
I mean, I just knew if I was going to get my degree paid for, I wanted to, you know, make it worth it and not do right. some kind of, you know, communications or some kind of cop out. So, yeah, but that being said, I mean, it was the easiest degree in the business school, so I went with that one.
All right, I was going to say, apparently, Carl, there was no geology rocks for jocks right, at Wisconsin.
When I
right?
saw that, I was like, impressive. Yeah. And by the way, I'm being serious here. He is an academic All-American while he was at Wisconsin, so Jack is all about it. Hey, man, what do you think about the Falcons? What were your perceptions? I don't know if you had any before you got here. And did you ever watch any of these games, and did you see Michael Penix last year, or did you watch any of this squad?
To be honest, not much. You know, prior to this, you know, my life was kind of just dominated by college football,
sure.
Obviously. But the only thing I really knew about the Falcons was, you know, it was down south. And, you know, I've never really been down there, so excited to be here. Definitely a new experience, great people so far, and I'm real thrilled, looking forward.
Outstanding. We got a coach. It'd be interesting. Everybody who gets to meet Coach Raheem Morris for the first time, I mean, he's a real energetic personality. So there's almost like a little bit of a college vibe there. Be curious to see how that works out. And I don't know, man, Bijan Robinson and all these weapons and Michael Penix, we got a lot of guys. So looking forward to seeing you out there, man, protecting these dudes.
Absolutely. I'm beyond stoked. Super excited.
Well, we look forward to seeing you, meeting you. And Jack, good luck, man. Welcome to Atlanta, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate it, guys.
All right. Good stuff. Football does run through his family, and right. you know, those guys, man, they're unique because it's like they never get away from it, Mike. You know, some guys get a chance to go home and they're the only guy in the family that plays. I mean, his dad, his brother, so they're always talking football, but he is an excellent, at least according to the scouts, run blocker.
Right.
And he talked about that backside zone in this particular scheme, and you know, that's where he excels. Mike, that I think he could be a guy that could have some impact for us, specifically in the run game. Listen, none of these guys are completely polished 100%, but I also think if his pass protection gets better, he's a guy that might end up laying a lot for us.
No, it's just one of those deals where, I mean, I get it. Sometimes you feel like a seventh-round pick is a glorified undrafted free agent, but as we've seen with Brock Purdy and we've seen with some other guys come in here, I mean, I just think there's an archetype and a body style, just like I think, you know, when we went with Chris Lindstrom out of Boston College, you just know you're going to get some solid play. And so we'll see. Now, obviously, not as high as he wanted to go in the draft, but perhaps, you know, being a little banged up for the Senior Bowl and some of this contributed maybe his stock falling a bit. But I think when you look at the size element, it's like, I mean, I can imagine offensive line coaches on the Falcons, but we can fix that if there are things that need fixing.
Yeah, and I think he got hurt in the bowl game,
right?
Which is why that affected his Senior Bowl, you know, situation. Either way, obviously he's over that and healthy, and we're looking forward to seeing what he's got. Look, we got five picks in this draft. We think three are going to be impact, right? For sure. The last two are going to be interesting, and we just had Billy Bowman on from Oklahoma. I think Billy Bowman, guys, is going to get playing time. I don't know how much, but I do think he is. But he's also Jack Nelson. If he comes in, Mike, and you've been concerned about the other side of this
right,
line.
Right, right.
I mean, I don't know. If he finds a way to impress the coaches, maybe he gets some time.
But I will say this. I mean, as much as I get on the front office, they've done a really good job evaluating offensive line pieces from Bergeron and the undrafted or free agents we brought in as depth. I think we've done a pretty good job with O-line. And now the next guy we'll get a chance to talk to in a bit will be Xavier Watts.
All right. Stay right there. Michael Penix, would the Falcons have been a playoff team if they inserted him sooner? He answered that. We're coming back with it next. We're getting a chance to talk to the newest rookie class for our Atlanta Falcons. It's Dukes and Bale Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So we had on Billy Bowman. We just had on Jack Nelson. And we also are going to get a chance to talk to Xavier Watts, who we like a lot. And I think a lot of people around the NFL really were like, that's a great pick. Because his prototype, Mike, at least, you know, we haven't seen him play it down, but the similarities to Jesse Bates, it's all over the place. And that is one reason why we think a lot of people are excited about this pick for the Falcons. Now, he's got to come in here, but he played a lot at Notre Dame, Mike, and was great while he was there.
And we're going to mention when we talked to him, he was a Bronco Nagurski Award winner in 23 as the best college defensive player. So, like, I know that, you know, we don't watch as much Notre Dame. Well, sometimes you can't avoid it. They're always on NBC. But this guy was making plays everywhere, all over the field. Think about what he was doing in the Sugar Bowl. We'll ask him about that Sugar Bowl experience when he comes on the show. But, I mean, Notre Dame, I think, you know, you thought about sometimes them being a little more finesse and being overrated. That was a team that really brought some physicality, I thought, last year, certainly for Coach.
I thought so, too. Hey, we were talking about Michael Penix, and we are awaiting a chance to talk to Xavier Watts. He'll call in here in just a second. But I mentioned that he had a chance to visit with our buddy Brian McFadden. And Bryant asked him a bunch of things. And we're going to get into this with B-Mac tomorrow when he joins us on Fridays, as he normally does. But one of the things he asked him was, would the Falcons have been a playoff team if they inserted him sooner into the lineup? It's a pretty bold question, right? Because, you know, Penix, he really played the role last year, Mike, and was a good soldier, as we like to say. Didn't try to, you know, make any waves. It was Kirk Cousins. But here's what he said about that particular question.
So do you have Matt Ryan's number?
Yeah, I do.
I think you should FaceTime him real quick.
Yeah, let's just see. Let's see what he's doing. We might not get an answer, y'all.
Well, it's 10 o'clock. You said.
Oh, here we go. What's up? How you doing?
It's like 20 years from now.
That is, of course, him FaceTiming Matt Ryan, which is kind of funny as they sat there. And it's all on tape. You guys can go watch the video. But this is the answer to the question we were talking about him being inserted into the lineup sooner.
I don't know, man. I just control what I can control, man. Just go out there and be the best me I can each and every day. So I don't know. I can't say that, you know, because it could have been the other way, too. So at the end of the day, you know, when my time came, I had to be ready. So.
He's not willing to say yes. Didn't say no.
Diplomatic, you know, though, but a diplomatic answer. You're not going to sound like he's afraid to, you know, feel he can be the man doing the job, but you're not going to disrespect the guy that, you know, he had a good relationship with last year.
No doubt. All right, more on that, more Penix coming up. But right now, let's talk to Xavier Watts. And we are excited to visit with our newest safety here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Xavier, third-round pick for the Falcons. A lot of people talking about his skill set and what kind of person he is. Xavier Watts, thank you so much for joining us, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I'm great. You know, when you look at what you accomplished in college, I said you, to me, come in as the most accomplished player I think we drafted this year. And then I saw this number where you, you know, one touchdown allowed in 1,147 snaps. And I was like, is that correct? What was the secret, man? Why were you so dominant at your position and played so well at Notre Dame?
I think it's a mixture of one type of player I am. You know, able to, you know, have the mindset of, you know, going out there and make plays and dominate. And then two, I mean, just my teammates have a really good support system. My teammates did their job so I could do my job. And then as well, just the coaches, I had good coaches, I had a good scheme. So
we were surprised you were there where you were and the Falcons move up to get you with the 96th pick. What did you know where you were going after the combine? Where'd you think you were going to go and how excited to be an Atlanta Falcon?
Yeah, I didn't know where I was going to go. I mean, obviously it was a lot of different, you know, news and noise of kind of where the range I was supposed to go. But obviously, you know, when the Falcons called me, I was really excited. I mean, I get to learn from one of the best safeties in the NFL. So, I mean, I'm just really excited to, you know, be on the team in general and then learn from a good safety. So
awesome.
Yeah, I and we agree with you. Jess is pretty damn good. Talk to us about the night of, man. I mean, we've been asking all the guys. We had Billy Bowman on and Jack Nelson. You know, your classmates here with the Falcons about the moment and just how that was for you. I mean, where were you at? Was there family around? What was going on?
Yeah, I mean, I had a family like little party. Some family up there, some friends, some coaches. But like I said, just getting that call was amazing. I cried. I'm not a big crier, so just getting that call was really emotional. And just being around everybody that had supported me and, you know, has always been there for me, just celebrating that moment with them was a really good moment.
Xavier Watts is with us, guys. As we mentioned, he's a Bronco Nagurski Trophy winner in 23, is the best defensive player in the country. And we talked about how physical Notre Dame was and Coach Freeman, the job he did. Talk about that Sugar Bowl, because you guys really smacked Georgia around at the line. And obviously, you were the defensive player of the game.
He's laughing.
Yeah. I mean, we came out there with a mindset to go out there and, you know, kind of dominate Georgia. You know, they had previous success and, you know, coming into that game, there was a lot of smoke in terms of they were going to blow us out and they were Georgia, they're all big and bad. But, you know, we kind of took that to heart and be like, you know, they're playing Notre Dame. I mean, this is not the same Notre Dame team from whatever a long time ago. So, I mean, we took that to heart and we went out there and we, you know, proved a lot of people wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that you did, and the physicality showed through. There's no debating that. Xavier, talk about your coach, though, Marcus Freeman. Because, you know, we talk about these transitions, and when Brian Kelly left, and everybody's like, oh, what are you going to do? And then Coach Freeman takes over. What's the vibe like? What's it been there? Because obviously you guys are playing at a high level and playing for chips last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, when Coach Freeman took over, we already knew kind of what it was. Like, we knew he was going to come in. He was going to do great things. Like, he was the defensive coordinator, so a lot of guys already knew the type of guy he was, the type of coach he was. So we knew he was the right guy for the job, and we just knew he was going to help the program out, turn it around. You know, he made Notre Dame cool. He brought some swag with it, and, you know, a lot of guys really believe in his mission. I mean, he helped a lot of young men become great men and great football players. So, I mean, he's been doing an amazing job.
I remember we talked about it, Xavier, on the radio when you guys made that announcement and the way the reaction in the locker room, everybody just went bananas. It seemed like it really was heartfelt.
No, yeah, like I said, we've all been around. We were all around him earlier, and we knew he was the guy for the job because, I mean, he truly cares for his players. He's a younger guy. He's got some, like I said, he got some swag with him. But, I mean, he'll get on you. He's a good coach as well. So, I mean, we were all really happy.
What does Xavier Watts like to do outside of football?
I like to golf. I like the ball. I mean, my time off, let's see what. This whole time leading up to here, I was golfing all month a lot. So I like to golf, like the ball. I like to travel. But I'm really chill, laid back type of guy. Don't do too much, but I do a little bit.
How's
different
the golf
things every now and then.
How's the golf game?
It's
like all of
better.
Us. It's golf.
I broke 100 for the first time. A couple, what was that? Like two rounds ago.
Okay.
So I mean, I'm getting better, but I got some work to do for sure.
Well, wherever you decide to live, man, I mean, you can't go wrong. There's golf courses everywhere where the Falcons practice, and you'll be set. I often wonder, because we've been to South Bend a few times. What do you do in South Bend for excitement, man? It just seems like it. I know there's a bar scene, but it seems like it's a pretty laid back vibe.
Nah, that's why it was perfect for me. Like I said, I'm really chill and laid back, so all I could focus on was football and school. There's nothing to do in South Bend, not going to lie. so it was perfect. But South Bend's a good city. It's cool. But
right.
Yeah, I hear you. But it's Xavier Watts joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, man. So tell Falcon fans, because, look, everybody's excited about the draft class and getting you guys, you know, in uniform and seeing what this is going to look like. We got a lot of work in front of us. But tell Falcon fans what you're bringing, man. What are you bringing to the squad?
Yeah, I mean, I'm bringing a playmaker to the field, to this organization. I mean, I go out there, I make plays, and I help the team win. So I'm really excited to, you know, get to work and show what I can do.
Well, a lot of folks are stoked because, as you said at the start of the interview, your idea of you and Jesse Bates, I mean, that sounds like there could be something on a T-shirt soon, man. That sounds great.
Yeah, it does.
For sure. No, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you, man. Good luck, and we look forward to seeing you and getting a chance to meet you, Xavier Watts, man. Appreciate you being here, and congratulations again.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Mike, pretty interesting dude, man. And when you talk to, like, his high school coaches, who they all these guys have been interviewed, right? And everybody, they talk about how polite and respectful he is and how his teammates adore him and all this stuff. That stuff matters. And, look, we hear this with Terry Fontenot. We heard it last year, maybe 2 years ago, Mike, the kind of guys they want to bring in, right?
Right.
Look, it hasn't translated to a Super Bowl yet, but I do think that when you talk about the kind of guys they're trying to bring into this organization, these are the kind of guys. And if you bring in enough of those guys, Mike, and they're good, they're talented, then eventually, hopefully, it pays off for us.
You know, it's interesting because this guy is a dude that can, you know, play. He played receiver, which is the defense. He got redshirted like so many players during the COVID year. So it's interesting. You're getting a lot of guys, and you see this around the NFL on draft weekend, but he's 23.
Yep.
So you're getting, and it's not a knock on other guys we've drafted, but there is a presence, a maturity, and he was a leader, as you said, Carl, on that team. So it's kind of cool. I mean, I don't know anybody who heard that conversation, and isn't like, yeah, this guy's got the little juice. Very excited.
He's got a great feel for the game.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesse has. To be honest with you guys, like Jesse, you know, we talk about this. Like, Mike, the plays he makes where he comes up and strips a guy, right, and you know, punches the ball out, that's just feel. It's not just I need to make a tackle. It's, all right, third, they're about to get a first down. We're down three. We need a turnover. Like, that's what's going through his mind. This kid thinks the same way. He's the same kind of playmaker.
Right. Alan on the text line goes, why are you loading him up to get angry Georgia fans angry? No, I'm just saying. I mean, look, every Georgia fan who watched that game saw it. They kicked Georgia's butt.
We couldn't believe it.
Now, granted, they couldn't score a lot, but then Georgia made it easy with the damn special team screw up and the touchdown right before the half. I mean, look, that could have been a game that went down to the wire. I think Kirby's, in a woulda, coulda, shoulda, Kirby's 21-22 team would have been in that boat. But they were, and Ohio State, a couple years ago, maybe they win if Marvin Harrison, like there's the ifs and wants and this and that. Notre Dame was prepared. There's no doubt about it, man. And they were ready for that smoke.
You know what's funny, Mike? Look, what he said, by the way, and this is just getting to the new season and beyond, that's what happens every week with the Dogs. This is why Kirby says they are challenged every week. Every week somebody's telling them, y'all are not tough enough. They think you're tougher than them. And that was what the motivation was. He just said, Marcus right. Freeman came in there and was like, they think they're bigger and physical than you guys.
Right.
You know?
And it's the kind of stuff that we've seen. Who's the Syracuse coach we just talked about doing? Coach Fran's got the – he does the same thing. I mean, I know some says, it's bulletin board, but it works. And the other thing is, remember Michigan, they never got to play Georgia because, unfortunately, Georgia didn't make it to the Final Four that year. But Michigan was having that Georgia segment of practice where they knew – because Georgia's built a brand of physicality and toughness that resonates around the country. You know, you got to beat them by being more physical.
It's true. And you know, it's funny because Alabama used to do that when Saban was there and they just push you around. Right. And then you get intimidated and then you lost. And Georgia's doing the same thing. And that's why I think that approach from these coaches, they may not be as talented in some cases across right. the board as Georgia, but that mindset that Xavier Watts was talking about is interesting. All right, man, we got a lot to dive into. Three great guests to start the hour. All of them are newest Falcons guys. If you missed any of that, go online, download the app today. You can always rewind and check them out. All right, we talked to Billy Bowman, safety out of Oklahoma, a nickel guy. We had a chance to talk to the big offensive lineman out of Wisconsin, Jack Nelson, and he is big, 6'7". Right. They list him at 315. My guess is he's probably 330. All right, that's my guess, but who knows? And then Xavier Watts, who was the third round pick, and I think maybe. The most impactful guy. I think he's immediately on the field, Mike. I think he starts from day one here and has a chance to make some real impact. But all three intriguing dudes, man.
And a lot of guys hitting us up during the conversations going, oh, I like this guy. Oh, I like this guy. Because it's funny, Crow and I, we were joking around during the conversation. We're saying, yeah, it's just kind of, you know, not to paint with a broad brush, but it's exactly what you expect. Like Jack Nelson, that's exactly what I expect a giant strapping tackle from Wisconsin to sound like. He's got a dad that was a big strapping dude. It looks right now like he's ready for an arm wrestling contest. So, I mean, again, now you got to put the work in and hopefully, and as I said to you to start the hour, it's really cool with our job to meet these guys and you get them like really right off the tree, you know, and see how their career goes and hopefully it blossoms here in Atlanta.
All right, guys, Braves lose last night 4-3. They dropped to 17-19. However, they are 17-12 after starting 0-7. So they're playing a lot better, and we know that. That is the key, and the Celtics fall to an 0-2 hole. We got to dive into this because we said as we started the show, this thing has turned into a debacle, and there's only one person to blame. We will let you hear how this thing went down because, again, they were up 20. And blew it again last night. OKC handled business, but the Celtics are really the story now in these NBA playoffs because everybody had them penciled in right. to get back at least to the Eastern Conference Finals, but certainly probably another chance to repeat, Mike, and get to the NBA Finals. That might not happen. We're going to dive into that. Coming up next hour, also more from Michael Penix Jr., talking about his journey working with Matt Ryan and also, you know, what he's been doing, man. He has been getting himself ready and how. We're going to let you hear all of that. Stay right there. 3 o'clock hour straight ahead on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.